broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. I'm with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. We're talking about the constitutionality of things. Donald Trump getting a bad rap due to lawfare everywhere. Even the Gateway Pundit possibly declaring bankruptcy over the lawfare. They claim they'll keep publishing. Our prayers are with them. We've got serious problems, ladies and gentlemen. And on one hand, you know, you see these news articles that I'm about to talk about, and you just get livid at one person. But I believe our agenda seems to be misdirected oftentimes. Let's dig into this with Dr. Scott Bradley. Biden announces billions in grants to make chips. No, not the kind of chips you eat. We're talking computer chips, folks. Turns out the $6.1 billion grant for Micron is designed to shore up domestic supply of semiconductors. It comes after a key union endorsement and passage of an aid bill central to Joe's foreign policy agenda. New factories are going up all across the country, says Joe. Yeah. Communities like Syracuse are writing the great American comeback story. In my opinion, he lies and claims. The federal government will also provide up to $7.5 billion in loans to Micron, ramping up domestic chip production. That's a major goal for Joe Biden. He wants to bring back jobs and manufacturing. Only about 10% of the world's semiconductors are made in the United States now. That's down from 37% back in 1990. This is a serious issue. So $13+ billion went to a single company, Micron. Now, we have a local experience with Micron in Utah because they came to build a bunch of buildings here and promised a bunch of business. And, well, after the buildings were built, after the tax incentives were given, after the big old handout was given to Micron, they kind of backed off and didn't do near what they promised they were going to do. It's been a disaster here locally. This is round two of a similar thing. Now, the point that I'm getting at is you might want to just blame Joe for this and be like, oh, Joe's horrible. Congress is the one that funded this. So when you see the headline, you're tempted to kind of point your ire at Joe. But it's Congress that gave Joe the money for this to happen, doctor.
Well, it all comes back to the government ownership and or control of the means of production and distribution. That's a socialist definition. This is contrary to everything Americanist. The idea that they can buy or seize or control, I mean, is it communist where they seized it? Or is it fascist where they tell you what to do?
It's both, yeah, in this case.
It's all. It is. It certainly is. So we have the worst of all worlds with a communist, fascist, socialist solution where government owns, controls, and directs the way industry goes. You say, oh, we've got to have these chips. They're national defense things. Well, we screwed up everything anyway back in 86 where we put most favored nation status for China and how we've been shoveling money as fast as we can to them, where we have cut our own throats to slave labor over there. I mean, all the things that Ronald Reagan did, I can't imagine why everybody thinks he's such a good guy. You know, our immigration status got screwed up. That whatever, you pick your poison. Reagan had a hand in it, it seems like. But that's another story, maybe. But yeah, you look at what happened with Micron and in your neck of the woods. I mean, they're kind of close to you, but this huge campus structure that they've got, they gave them local, freebies for tax, you know, for the property tax and everything. They were going to bring huge, economic boom to your neck of the woods. They were going to bring more jobs, high-paying jobs, quality jobs. It was going to be an economic boon to the whole state. And they took the money and run, basically. I mean, I don't think we've really seen a blip on the radar in the state of Utah. And this is something, your point is well taken, by the way. I think Biden's trying to make the claim that he's the guy that did this, which is a lie, by the way. He didn't, but the Congress did. Biden's going to take the shine off of it. But the Congress, the people that voted for that, we ought to say, well, wait a minute. Who was it that voted for this? Let's go back. There's probably a record somewhere. I mean, kind of like whether over this 702 reauthorization or the funding to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan. We know who did that. We know who did that. And we should say, the heck you say. What? Tell me why you ought to even be trusted to cross the street alone, let alone make laws that are unconstitutional to begin with. You're way over the bounds. You're not going to sit in that office anymore. It's just going to be toast. You're done. This next election, there's nobody going to vote for you. And but we the people, I keep coming back to that. If we the people don't do our job, Andy Jackson, in his farewell address, he said the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Eternal vigilance. We can't seem to keep track of anything except the next basketball game or the next soccer game for our kids or who's on, I don't know, some of these America's Got Talent programs, whatever. Whatever we waste our time on, there are idols, if you will. What we give our time, attention, focus, and probably our support to are our idols. You say, oh, well, yeah, ancient Israel, they worshipped a golden calf. What are we worshiping? And we need to do an evaluation of where our worship is, and we need to take control of not only our own personal worship services, but how we can maintain the privilege of worshiping our God instead of losing it to the yo-yos, clowns, bozos, baboons, and buffoons that are running things. Don't get me going, Sam.
If there's a single change I could recommend, it's we the people turning back to God, though. I mean, I'm telling you right now, nothing will take the place of a good, honest, religious, moral people. Nothing. I don't care how involved we get. If we don't do those fundamental things first, if we don't put first things first, in other words, God first, and our neighbor second, so to speak, if we don't, look at what the law hangeth on, if you will, it doesn't matter what efforts we put. We can work our guts out all day long, and if we're not looking to the right source for solutions, it ain't going to go well, doctor.
Well, I guess we all need to. I mean, introspection. I look at myself and I say, I got to ask myself these questions all the time. If you're worshiping the false God, is that going to provide salvation? And I think there are plenty of false gods that we worship today. And the parties are one thing, for example. I mean, some people have been elevated to almost godhood status in the hearts and minds of many of the people. I mean, there's people I can't even have a cogent, reasonable, intelligent conversation with because they are so completely, unintelligibly dedicated to a given person or philosophy. And you can probably fill in the blanks wherever you can, you recognize these things with whether they're your friends, your neighbors, your fellow churchgoers or whatever. I mean, we have become a worshiper of false gods in this nation, and we've abandoned the true and living God, largely.
And I believe that single change alone would make probably a bigger difference than almost anything else, doctor.
Well, I
say almost
so.
Anything else, because, you can fast and pray and worship yourself, but we as a nation must do this, or I don't think there's a lot of solutions left. I really don't.
Well, it's interesting. I was asked a question in the, after we got done with our presentation the other night, in a presentation I was doing, a woman asked, she says, what's the biggest problem we've got in America? And, you run through the things that were just on the newscast, for example, the idiocy, the buffoonery that is being reported, and you start saying, well, is it this or is it this or is this? How do I rank this? Whatever. But I told her it's our abandonment of God. I says, there's good people, and I told stories about, good, solid, faithful people that I've known and still know across this nation. And there are those kinds of people. But as a, if you will, as a national psyche, we have adopted a civil religion that does not include the true and living God. It's a false, faith-based system that worships the humanist perspective of man's wisdom. And it, why has that happened? Well, it's because it's the religion we teach against the First Amendment, where government's not supposed to be providing and supporting and taxing for religious purposes. It's a faith-based system we teach in school.
Go ahead and skip the
kindergarten
break.
Forward. We teach this to our children. It's, they go to these houses of worship, if you will, these indoctrination centers, where we have eliminated the godliness of anything. I mean, I do a compare and contrast teaching an awful lot of the time. The way the founders learned and the part God played, even in learning the alphabet when you were a child, there were godly scriptural references that were in that. And so we have abandoned all of that, and we worship a non-deity, if you will, the wisdom and learning of man. And we saw how great that was under the COVID con, where they said, in the name of science, we are going to do this. There was no science involved in that. There was no truth. It was only a philosophy that got ascendancy. Well, and so we've been teaching our kids that way for generations now.
The problem is that our education system is virtually antichrist, right?
It is. There's no question. I mean, we've talked about this before on your program about Obama's United States Civil Rights Commission meeting they had in September of 2016, and they put out a 296-page manifesto, I'll call it. It sounds so Marxist. It is. Where their intent is to limit religious liberty to as narrowly defined scope as possible. Go back and read 296 pages. I mean, I've reviewed and I present on this thing regularly, but the fact of the matter is that is the direction of our national government. Our state and local governments have all become kind of, mini-me's of all of this national government kind of stuff. Your local school system is complicit in this. I don't care what county or how you divide your school systems up, whether it's a county or city or whatever. Your school system is a part of that debauchery. And you say, I'm glad that's not in my high school. It's in the other high school across town. No, it's in your high school too. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to parents that think the problem's everywhere but in their backyard. It's their people. And we have abandoned God, and I can't help but wonder he's a patient and a loving and a caring God and Father, but how long is it before he says, all right, kind of find your own way? Just if that's the way you want to go, do it. I mean, look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, when the children of Israel came to the prophet and said, hey, man, we want a king to be like all the other nations. You know, they can lead us in battle and be our icon in this, society. And Samuel said, no, you don't. You really don't want that guy or anybody. You know what? Let Christ be your king. He didn't use those exact words, okay? But no, we want a king. And God gave him a king. And you know what? We have a king now. I mean, whether it's an elected king that by the wave of a magic wand and an executive order does illegal and unconstitutional things, or it's a Congress that we have constituted a body of scoundrels. There's a few rare exceptions. But basically, that's the way the programs run. These secret combinations the Founding Fathers talked about, these priestcrafts that the Founding Fathers talked about, I mean, they coined those words. They used them in their vernacular. You may think they came from other sources, but no, the Founding Fathers used them. And these secret combinations have obtained the sole management of the government, and we, the people, have allowed it to happen. It sounds like a pretty big indictment.
And that's why last hour I was so focused on saying, look, you know what? It's dismal. Because if we send money to the next politician, you're just robbing your family of precious resources that you could use to get prepared. You know, long-term storable food, getting out of debt, fortifying your home with heat and cooling and the things that you need to do well and prosper and be safe, your clothing and fuel and all. You got to spend your time and your money on things that actually have value. And I believe sending your money, even to a Rand Paul, who's probably one of the best guys up there. Is he perfect? No, but he's done a lot of good and he stands strong on a lot of things. But even sending your money to keep Rand Paul elected at this point, in my opinion, is a... You know, there's a good, better, and best way to spend money. I would say it's in the good category. I would not say it's in the better and best category, though. Better and best is you take care of your family and you do things that prepare your family. Because you know what? As a nation, I don't see us turning around, Doctor. I wish we would, but I don't. So now how do we prepare people to meet Christ is the real question, right?
Well, you know, you bring out this concept of meeting Christ, and we've talked about this before, but I'll remind people. In 1804, Christmas Day, joint session of Congress, House and Senate met together, and they asked for a guy by the name of John Hargrove to come and address the issue of the second coming of Christ and preparing for the Judgment Day. That's what the Congress was interested in, 220 years ago. And so we have fallen so far. I mean, and Timothy Dwight, his 4th of July speech, you look at John Quincy Adams' 4th of July speech, and we could review any of those you wanted to ever, but the fact of the matter is, this was a religious nation founded on the principles of following God and his eternal plan, and we've abandoned that thing. Okay, so you may be right, Sam. Maybe we'll never turn this around until the Savior returns. And that's probably the case. We are not going to gain salvation out of Washington or out of our state capitals.
But we can prepare our families, and we can, you know, work on our individual lives and our families and our neighbors and our loved ones. There's a lot we can still do, though. Just because I make that claim, that doesn't mean that I've given up, or that doesn't mean that I'm capitulating to that. I mean, I pray enough individuals and families can change the game. I just have my doubts with the media propaganda, with all that's happening. Most folks don't seem to care. But there's a lot that you can do individually to prepare and ready yourself. I mean, think of the 10 virgins as your kind of guidance or whatever. You know, I don't want to be the guy without oil.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a kind of a hokey adage, you know, how are we going to save this nation or our community or our family or whatever, you know, denominator you look at on it? You know, it's God, it's groceries, it's guns, it's gold, and it's guts, the 5Gs. Oh, have we got 5G, you know, it's soup that we're swimming in with
Yeah, different kind of 5G,
phones.
Huh?
Five different kind of 5Gs. But no, let's not go off on that tangent. But the fact of the matter is, there are some solid, substantial things, and the number one on the list is God. And the fact is that we can do things, and we can prepare our individuals, our families, our communities, and there may be faith-based communities that ultimately and finally are cloistered or clustered and gathered and all those kinds of things.
I do believe that will be the case.
Ones.
I do believe that will be the case. I believe even as America continues to fall more and more, I do believe there can be covenant communities, whatever you want to call them, of groups that agree to cooperate together in meaningful, productive ways. Agriculture being one of the biggest ones to say, look, let's farm together. Let's make sure that we have food and fuel and clothing and shelter. And let's make sure we have these fundamentals and we can work together to get those. But I'm telling you right now, they are planning the destruction of the power grid.
Well, just before you leave that, go to that, Sam. Let me just point something out. In Utah is probably in the top five most corrupt states in the nation. And I think I can make some pretty good evidence of that. But you talked about agriculture and stuff. And just in passing, I want to point out that the state of Utah, its legislature and governor is attempting to seize control of every drop of water in this state. You can't have agriculture without water. And that thing, by the way, it's constitutionally protected in Utah. Water rights are, property rights are. And the government is granted none of this authority, but the legislature is seizing control of all water in the state of Utah. The legislative session is not right in session now. It's over by about a month ago. But it is doing that real time in Utah. Now, so if you think you're going to run agriculture in Utah, you need to understand that there's a government-mandated control effort, socialism, government ownership and control of the means of production and distribution. Water is essential to that. Land is essential to that. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on. And if people don't engage in their legislature and say, the heck you say, now go on with your power thing. I mean, a power grid thing. People don't know that you can take any subject you want and you can run it to ground and find out there's a concerted effort to steal your liberty. But go on with your power
question
story.
About that. And, you know, Utah is kind of a case in contrast as well. On one hand, it's a very, you know, controlled loss of liberty state to a great degree. Everything that Dr. Bradley says is factual and true. However, I will say this, though. There's a lot of positives in Utah or other places where there's a lot of religion. The South and the Rocky Mountains, those are, even though they've got a lot of problems and even though they've got a lot of bad leadership and a lot of bad decisions being made, there's more religious viewpoints in the southern states and in the Rocky Mountain states than virtually anywhere else in the country. And so it is a study in contrast as well.
Well, the problem is the religiosity of the people is kowtowing to government. If your religion kowtowed to the COVID cowardice con and rolled over completely and destroyed your religious liberty and went gleefully about it, if they're not defending the baseline principles, following your religion to hell is not going to get you to heaven. And so people need to realize that their religious, let's put it this way, their religious alliances need to be going in the right direction too.
Amen.
And so we need to talk to religious leaders and help them understand it's all inextricably interwoven. Religious liberty is absolutely essential, but it can't happen without political liberty. And the private property is one of the biggest things. That if you don't have freedom of conscience, freedom of private property, and life with a measure of health, you can't be free. You
Amen.
Just cannot. So we the people need to say, oh, if your religious doctrine says private property is important, for crying out loud, don't let your legislature take it away from you, whether it's
That's
water
right.
rights or property rights. And so people need to understand how these things weave together to a good solution, or they unravel to a bad solution. And right now, I fear our religious leaders are following the antithesis of what the Black Regiment did during the Revolutionary War.
I agree with that 100%. So where in the country do you think is the best place to be? I think the southern states and the Rocky Mountain states are the only places I could be at this point, Doctor.
Well, I mean, maybe there's places in Alaska. I don't know. There's places that I think you have to kind of recognize if you're in a larger metropolitan area or larger, higher population state. I have an adage that I've used for years and years. The higher the population density, the greater the propensity to socialism. And I've never been proven wrong on that. If you have a high population density in L.A., a San Francisco, a New York, you pick your poison. They have a greater propensity to socialism. And if you add a university or multiple universities with a big footprint into it, you have to say, whoa, that's a multiplier. That's a multiplier factor. So if you find areas like that, you're probably going to be in the clutches of early tyranny at the very least. The people that are closer to the dirt, and you say, oh, yeah, the dirt rules. The people that are closer to the earth, I believe, have a greater, shall we say, common sense. Now, there are exceptions to this, and let's just take farmers that have bought into the socialistic perspective that government needs to subsidize everything they do, whether you're a milk farmer or you're a wheat farmer or you're in the CRP program, the crop rotation plan, where the government pays you not to farm. All of those kind of things tend to influence in a socialistic way the people that are out in the rural areas. And so we need to fight against all of these things. They're trying to run these metastasizing tentacles into all aspects of our society, so we're all on the take. We all are feeding at the government trough. And,
true story.
And so all of these things need to be considered. If people will just stop and think and go the other direction, for crying out loud.
You got that right. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how they're intentionally forcing the failure of the power grid. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen, before your very eyes. How can you learn to live on less power and more? And by the way, that power, I'm talking about your electricity, but they are all doing it for power, a different kind of power. Greed power, right? Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA News, I'm Jen Gelber. The Supreme Court is deliberating on whether Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution for actions he took while in office, focusing on federal election interference charges. Thursday, Trump's attorney, D. John Sauer, argued that prosecuting a president for official acts is incompatible with the Constitution.
Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts.
While special counsel attorney Michael Dreeben argued against absolute immunity, Kim Kardashian is promoting criminal justice reform at the White House. The reality TV star joined Vice President Kamala Harris on Thursday to help promote a new rule from the Small Business Administration that will lift loan restrictions for people with criminal records. Kardashian is a longtime advocate for nonviolent drug offenders and helped elevate the issue during the Trump administration. David Pecker's involvement in Donald Trump's alleged hush money trial came to light in court on Thursday. Pecker took the stand for his third day of testimony and revealed conversations between himself, the former president, and associate Michael Cohen. Pecker said he arranged to buy the story surrounding Trump's alleged affair with Playboy model Karen McDougal for $150,000, but says he backed out of the deal after consulting with election lawyers, believing the payment may break the law. The Federal Communications Commission is voting on reinstating net neutrality rules, which prevent broadband providers from blocking internet traffic to certain websites and favoring those that pay extra fees for faster access. The FCC chair emphasized the importance of net neutrality, especially in the light of the pandemic, which has drastically changed our lives. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
All right, they're trying to destroy the power grid. It's a power grab, to say the least. The EPA, unconstitutional agency, as all get out. Rule now severely limits emissions from coal-fired power plants, ladies and gentlemen. So you got an unconstitutional agency making rules, legislative body being bypassed in this unconstitutional process. New regulations, they say, could spell the end for plants that burn coal. They say the fossil fuel that's really ran our society, our power grid, that powered the country for more than a century. Joe is taking aim at this big time. The Biden administration placed the final cornerstone of its plan to tackle climate change, a regulation that would force the nation's coal-fired power plants to virtually eliminate what they call the planet warming pollution that they release into the air or shut down. This is all based on a big old lie. The new rules regarding power plants come weeks after the administration. I guess they're dealing with climate regulations to reduce emissions from cars and trucks in a way that's designed to speed the adoption of electric vehicles. They say transportation and power creation are the two largest sources in the United States of the carbon pollution that's driving climate change. Now, that's full of lies, doctor, but the bottom line is, if they force all these coal plants offline, they will not have enough electricity to even power the current grid. If they add cars to that mix, they're literally going to virtually shut down the grid. There's no way for us to make enough electricity to get their plans done. And I believe they're trying to create a plan where there will be a crisis. It will be the crisis of the day fomented by your government. When that happens, what are we to do, doctor?
Well, you know, there's microeconomics, there's macroeconomics. Micro being a smaller cosmos of it, and the macro being a bigger picture, okay? Simple terms. Anyway, California is a micro of this right now. California has been limiting its capability to expand their grid. They don't have enough electricity to run their air conditioning in the summer, let alone to charge all of their electric cars that they're demanding. Now, right now, California is buying the vast majority, I believe, I haven't looked at all the exact statistics, of their power from external sources. I mean, if you're in Kemmer, Wyoming, a big coal production area that has coal-fired energy plants, those big transmission lines go to Southern California. I mean, these kinds of things are a complete disconnect from reality for these people. California's going green, but they're burning coal in Wyoming to get there, you know. So it's really interesting. California's having these brownouts and shutdowns, and their power grid is very, very fragile. This is something they're trying to expand to a national level. And Joe Biden's idiocy, and I'm sure it's some other idiot pulling his strings, is the one that's saying we're going to have the president do this. It's kind of like Woodrow Wilson's wife running the country while Woodrow Wilson was incapacitated. Well, the president's incapacitated cognitively, and so he's got puppeteers that are running his stuff. But the point of the matter is that we have been talking earlier in the program, in fact, the first hour, we talked about how the electric cars are utter, complete, and total failures. Okay, so if you shut down the power plants, okay, where are we going to go? Well, wind generation. Wind generation will never pay for itself. It's unpredictable, number one, but the cost of a generating plant, it doesn't have a life cycle that actually recovers the cost of installing it. And what we've got is Utah, for example. When I was in eighth grade, we studied Utah in eighth grade. It's a long time ago, so I may get a little bit of the facts wrong. I can't remember if Utah had enough coal. Utah alone had enough coal to power the entire world for 300 years, or just the United States. It's a little bit irrelevant at this particular point to argue about that, but to say, okay, let's just say it's the United States. We in the United States could be completely energy independent for our power production by using just the coal in Utah. for that 300 years. Okay. So, and the Kaparowitz, oh man, let's not go off on this, the Escalante staircase thing that Bill Clinton did. He closed up. Now, at that time during his administration, it was $1 trillion of the cleanest burning coal in the world. So we were going, if we'd have burned that, we would have found the air pollution would have diminished dramatically. But he closed that down with a stroke of a pen. And well, now it's probably worth $several trillion. I don't know what it's worth right now. But it was closed down as this, it's a national monument. We can't. And so,
well, and I believe you could do small power nuclear plants too, and make a big difference too. And that's viable if you do the small plants that, you can manage if anything goes wrong and stuff like that. They've made some tremendous strides in technology. That's viable too, Doctor. But they're not even talking about those solutions.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. What are you going to replace it with? I mean, if you wanted to go with nuke plants, I mean, there's an old bumper sticker that used to be around when Teddy Kennedy killed that girl in his car crash, the drowning girl, Anyway, more people have died in Teddy Kennedy's car than have died in nuclear power plants in the United States. They've been extremely safe, and they're completely without any of this atmospheric pollution that people are talking about, And so, yeah, you could go that route, but the regulatory cost of trying to put one of those plants in has become so astronomical, people are just not doing it. The wind generation things, you never recover your costs on it. It's a government subsidized package, the whole thing. The solar generation, it's like, have you been across Nevada and seen the huge solar arrays that are out there? They're all government subsidized. It's like, what in the world are we going to do?
They don't produce enough power, and if you look at the environmental creation of solar
panels.
And I would say the solar infrastructure, because it's more than just panels. None of it's environmentally friendly. From the creation cycle to the end of life cycle all the way through, it's not environmentally friendly at all. When you see it there and it's like, oh man, this thing can just take this sun and turn it into electricity. And you're deceived because you're only seeing the middle part of the reality. But it's absolutely environmentally taxing, way more than a coal-powered plant.
Again, the micro view is the electronic vehicle we talked about in the first hour. It's a failure. Yeah. There's no cost recovery. The macro view is they put these big things up and the disaster is multiplied by hundreds of fold. So we can look at some of these little micro failures, like California, that's a pretty big micro failure, and the F-150 or whatever vehicle that Ford's finding just isn't desirable and has a lot of things. It won't run good in the winter. Try going across the United States on the northern tier, go across I-90 or something like that in the middle of the winter, and you're going to be able to go maybe a couple hundred miles every day, and then you got to charge it overnight. And then, I mean, it's a complete utter waste.
Well, there was an executive of one of the car manufacturers that tried to do that, and he had to have somebody come pick him up.
Yeah, it wasn't going to make it. He lost the battle to the winter. All of these things. Biden wants to run all of our military vehicles with big, long extension cords. Can you imagine going across the sand pile in the Middle East with an extension cord off your tank or your deuce and a half or whatever you're driving nowadays, your Bradley fighting vehicle or your Humvee? I mean, come on, people. We have... I'm sorry to say it again, idiots, buffoons, baboons, bozos.
It's almost laughable if it wasn't so real and serious.
It is serious.
That's kind of the problem. Right? Well, I got a question for you with all this in mind. The government literally is intentionally trying to destroy the power grid. I mean, everything they're doing is aimed at literally destroying the power grid, making sure we don't have the power that will be enforced shutdowns and forced regulations and forced control and everything else. And that's not even counting all the outside forces that would like to do harm to our power grid, to our systems, our infrastructure, etc. But here's the question then. Is our government at war with American citizens? And is that where we're at?
I think that our government is at war with the cause of liberty because they're going for a global governance thing. The deep state is committed. I mean, it has been since before Woodrow Wilson, really, but he became the motivator. Edward Mandel House and the Council on Foreign Relations, the League of Nations, the United Nations, all of that have metastasized you know, our regional arrangements like NATO and CETO and CENTO and ANZUS, all of those kinds of things are a kind of a convergence of global government. And you bring up an interesting thing, by the way. Just this is maybe a side trip, but we need to think about this. Israel has been assaulting Iran for centuries.
That's
not
right.
Centuries. Since 1960. Well, Israel and Iran
They've been
the
having this war
buddies.
For millennia, sir.
But the fact of the matter is Israel and Iran were best of buddies before the Six-Day War in 1967. Iran was the closest ally Israel had in the Middle East. It's really flipped from that. But for the last couple of dozen years, few dozen years probably, Israel has been assaulting Iran. You know, what didn't start with the attack on Damascus embassy? They have sent aircraft, they have sent drones, they have sent saboteurs, sappers, whatever you want to call it. And okay, we don't need to go into all of that stuff except for they have been planting for many years hacks, if you will, bugs, software glitches in the Iranian grid and in their nuclear power production facilities. Okay, they have been planting that in Iran. This is should be known by every person in the nation. That has been Israel's approach to sabotaging Iran. Okay, if Israel can do that to Iran, could China do it to us? Or could Israel do it to us? I mean, if there that skill set exists, and it absolutely does, and it's been exercised to honed to an expertise that's unbelievable, could our power grid be hacked with glitches that will ultimately bring us to our knees?
Because if CIA says yes.
Oh, I'm absolutely confident that it can be done. And the CIA may be facilitating it with its deep state ties. Who knows? So I'm a skeptic in terms of trusting anyone that says, I'm from the government, trust me, or I'm here to help.
So is our government at war with the American citizen?
I think there's a high probability that it is right now.
All right. And so if it is, let me make two more statements, and then I want to know what we should do about it. And I've got ideas for this, too. We always have solutions. The plan is to dismiss, discredit, demonize, and destroy. That's what they're doing to everything and everyone good. So if you bring real solutions to the table, they will have the plan to dismiss, discredit, demonize, and destroy you. The fact is the war is against Christians. Okay, I know we believe it's against all these other different downstream topics, whether you believe in two genders or not or whatever. Okay, Republican, Democrat, whatever fault line they can find they want to exploit. But if you set aside all that, it's really an attack on Christians. And persecution of Christians is on the rise, not only in the United States, but worldwide. Violence against Christians surging globally, data shows. So the reason I bring this up is because I do believe that the government is declaring war on the citizen. However, I do believe that the answer is following the Prince of Peace. Now, I know that might sound contrary, but I don't believe so. I believe following the Prince of Peace is the best way to avoid war. And yes, at some point we may be forced to defend ourselves. But in the meantime, let's not be the provocateurs. Let's not be the agitators. Let's not be the aggressors. Let's not be the ratchet up. Let's be the de-escalators. Let's be the humble followers of Christ. And let's prepare a people to meet their king when he returns. That's what our efforts need to be about. And our hope, our clarion call is worldwide to anyone who will consider what we have to say and listen and take action in their own personal lives and in the lives of their families to improve things, to be self-governed, to live a good, honest, moral, religious life, to trust God, to put our trust in him. And so even though I acknowledge that I think the government's at war with us, I think that our response needs to be a peaceful, self-governed one, Doctor.
Well, let's say that we grant this idea that the government's at war with us. And I think that 296-page Obama Civil Rights Commission paper is evidence of that, strong evidence of that. I think you're going to find most people will find it difficult to make the leap from an energy crisis to an attack on Christians because it seems to be a ubiquitous attack on everybody. But knowing that there is all of this struggle going on, by being forewarned, we can be forearmed. and we can understand and know that we need to align ourselves with the proper principles in order to be able to preserve ourselves, our families, our communities, and ultimately our nation. I haven't given up on the nation yet, and I believe that the nation will still exist in the millennial reign of the Lord, with him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It'll be him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, though. It won't be with some, you know, iconic figure leading the nation other than the Savior. It'll be a theocracy with the baseline principles of liberty that are found in the Constitution. That's my belief system. But I think that your point should be that we, the people, need to understand we need to be masters of our own destiny. We're not going to find salvation anywhere else but in the Savior by applying his principles with wisdom. Now, again, these people that are talking about some kind of rhapsody, or I don't know what they call it, where they're going to be swept up and their clothes are going to be left behind and they're going to be taken to heaven. You know, you've seen some of those movies and heard of some of these people. I think that's a discounter too. If you think you do not have to take some responsibility for where you're going and what you're doing and what your commitments are, what you stand for and all that kind of stuff, you are letting this happen to us. There's a group that I know of. It's a church, not the one you're thinking of right now, Sam, up in northern Montana, that has got that perspective. We're hunkering down and we're bunkering up, and we're just going to watch this with a smile on our faces. And when this rhapsody of some sort, I don't know what they're calling it, it's some kind of a pill where people get taken up. Anyway, you've probably heard about it in some of these religions. It ain't going to happen. We are going to face what we face in a mortal experience till the end of whenever God says it's time for us to go. Now, they're thinking they're going to get twinkled up or something like that. But I think we show our character every single day that we live by how we live, the principles we live by, the preparations we make, the trust we put in the right places, and we quit putting our trust in the arm of flesh, whether it's a false prophet that lies, go read Isaiah 9, I think is where that is, or you're leading and believing in, I mean, your pastor can be a false prophet, can't he? Or here, whatever.
Anybody
I'm talking
can.
About, yeah, absolutely. Your political leaders can be false prophets. And lies,
sure.
Lies, and more darn lies. But so what we need to do is put baseline principles as our foundation. And the basest, most foundational rock we can build on is Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. I think there's a song about it. oh, the rock of our salvation. I can't sing. I don't sing and I don't dance. But we need to put, again, we've talked about this before. I think we did it on Monday. We talked about there's no more oceans to cross to find liberty. There's no more planes
That's
coming
right.
across the plains. We got to make our stand where we are, what we're doing, and we've got to let it be known what we stand for. The old
we
thing,
do, that's
if you're...
right, but we can also, though, move out of the big cities and move more to the country. We can also learn to depend on neighbors and source our food locally and work to produce our own food. And there's a lot of things that we still can do, though,
sure.
folks. I don't want you to lose hope and think, oh, man, there's nothing we can do. There's a lot we can do. And there's a lot we can do individually and in families and as neighbors and on the local level. And I think that's where the choicest blessings are, the greatest opportunities lie. That's where the solutions are found and stuff. Me worrying about Joe 2,000 miles away is a waste of time. Me doing my very best locally to stand for what's right. And that doesn't mean I don't vote for the right people at all levels of government or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying completely check out. But I'm saying, you know what? We need to get a laser life focus on the things that matter most. We've got to start to prioritize our efforts because we've only got 24 hours of the day. We've only got so many dollars. We've only got so much time. We've only got so much political capital and influence on those around us. And we better start to use it in ways that make it count is what I'm talking about. And that's why I highlight that religious liberty is kind of at the top of the heap. You lose religious liberty and you don't have any other liberties. And all the other liberties are hollow without religious liberty, Doctor.
That is true. But I want to caution people. Utah passed a law not that long ago. If I'm ragging on Utah, it's for good cause. You know, they're worried about the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, and they want to take over control of all the federal land in Utah. They created a DLM, a Division of Land Management, instead of a Bureau of Land Management. It's a Utah-controlled thing that in perpetuity would control all the land. Again, the means of production and distribution. The land is the basis
so.
Of it. It's worse. You're living with it. Would you rather have a tyrant for a father or a tyrant for a king? If you're living in the household with a tyrant, it's horrific. If you bring the socialism closer to your home by legislative enactments, like Utah's doing, attempting to do anyway, you have created a closer tyranny to yourselves. So that's why people have got to be aware of what is being created as their shackles and bonds, are, their chains are being forged upon them. Why stand ye here idle? I mean, you go back and read the old Patrick
Henry.
Yeah, and
as the division grows greater, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see more and more and more evidence of where you need to be standing if you're a God-following, you know, humble follower of Christ, if you will. The abortion issue. Hey, it used to be at the federal level, and we felt like we had no control. Now it's state by state, right? And so they're bringing the discussions closer to the people, and we better make wise choices, because if we turn to God, we'll be blessed. If we turn our back on God, I'm telling you right now, the gloves are coming off.
Well, you know, God is a loving, forgiving, merciful God. But yes. If we've been, sooner or later, he might say, okay, try it your way. Okay. You know, you just see how it works out for you. That's what Israel did in, you know, First Samuel chapter 8, where they said, we want a king. Yeah, we're going to try it our way. He said, okay. And all the things, you know, that
boy,
were
suffer.
Predicted by Samuel. Man, they did. And
history
they got their butts
itself.
Kicked. It
and
does.
I sadly think we're headed the same direction, and we've got to point people to Christ.
That's kind of a focus we seem to talk about a lot, isn't it?
I believe that's where the solutions lie, and I can't let it go.
Agree.
I mean, if we start turning to Christ en masse, I can back off and go back to work in IT and all the other wonderful loves that I have, and I don't have to spend so much time on this. That'd be incredible. But in the meantime, here we got a country to save, sir.
Well, and again, the John Hargrove speech before a joint session of Congress of 220 years ago, it shows how far we've fallen. The preparing for the second coming and the judgment day of Christ. I mean, those
yeah,
at the head
of the let's try to get
that
on the congressional record today to make the point, right?
Yeah. It's going to be a real uphill battle. Oh, we can't mix religion and government. Well, they are. Every single day your kid goes and gets preached a false religion in the public education system, that it's a faith-based, godless system that has the learning and wisdom of man as its God. Our false gods we worship, we just have put idols up everywhere. And every mom that I see taking their kid to the bus stop or walking them to school or whatever just thinks she's just a delightful, wonderful, special mom for turning them over to the, shall I say, the hireling, when instead of the good shepherd is the one that's raising them. I mean, come on. It's horrific. So I know we're running out of time, Sam, and I could get
yeah, liberty is not a spectator sport is the point.
Yeah, it is. You're right. You're absolutely, that's a grand analogy. So we can watch it be lost.
We've got to get engaged. Oh, agreed. We can spectator sport, watch it go the way of Rome.
Yeah.
Go the way of the other revolution, not the United States, but the French Revolution. We can go those ways. Or we can turn to God like our founding fathers. They pointed us in the right direction, ladies and gentlemen. We must heed them. We must carry forward their legacy with dignity and honor and humility before Christ. We got a lot of work to do, people. And I want to use all my influence everywhere I can to point people to the solutions, which are God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. For Dr. Scott Bradley and yours truly, freedomsrisingsun.com to get his collegiate series, to sign up for his weekly webinars and more, all available at... Give us the website, Doctor.
Oh, freedomsrisingsun.com. But then we've got a couple of... We're going to have to bring this up again in another time when we tell them which channels to go to on BitChute and Rumble to watch the videos, too. We want to do that at some
have
point.
Have it ready for next time. God save the Republic. Okay.